Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Daily Complaint. My name is Dana Schaffman. I will be your hostess with the mostest for this awesome episode of the Daily Complaint. Welcome to those of you who are joining us for the first time. Welcome to those of you who are joining us for the second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth time. We want to welcome both of you. Both of you represent two different segments of consumers, those that are just learning about their consumer rights and how to assert them. That's our motto, our heartbeat here at the Daily Complaint, which is know your rights and assert your rights. And those of you who have already learned that you do have rights, but are still trying to put the pieces together so that way you can successfully assert your rights. So we want to extend that warm welcome to all of you. Thank you for joining us on the Daily Complaint. My name again is Dana Schaffman. I'm the managing member of End Consulting. We're going to try and bring to you a good show today. We've got a pretty good storm brewing here in the Scottsdale, Arizona area where we broadcast from. So bear with us. We've also got a dog in the office as well. As many of you have already known, if you've listened to some past shows, you've heard him bark and whatnot. He's been here since he was a puppy. He comes to work with us every day. So the storm coupled with the puppy, you never know what's going to happen. But like I said, we're going to try and get through this show successfully. So here we go. Like I said, my name is Dana Schaffman. I'm the managing member of End Consulting. Just a fancy way of saying I own End Consulting. Why is that important? Because End Consulting brings to you the Daily Complaint every weekday. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Normally, we bring to you the Daily Complaint at 8:30 a.m. West Coast, California Pacific Time, which happens to be 11:30 a.m. East Coast, New York Eastern Time. Because we are a slave to our listeners, our consumers, borrowers, homeowners, we're trying to figure out if it works better to come in later in the morning so that more people can listen live if they choose to, or if it works better for us so we can get some things done in the office before we hit the live radio show. Before, we were getting in at about 7:30, 7:45 to hit an 8:30 show. So bear with us as we test the water with regard to when is the best time to air live. But that does not affect most of you. And the reason why I know this is because we get the stats every day for the show. And the stats basically tell us every day that the majority of you actually listen later at your leisure or leisure just simply by visiting our show page at thedailycomplaint.com. You can visit our show page, thedailycomplaint.com, 24/7. Per my understanding, it's never been down. So if you can't sleep in the middle of the night and you just want to hear my lovely voice, you can listen to us, like I said, by simply going to thedailycomplaint.com. From there, you can listen to any of the shows. There are, I haven't even looked. I told you I was going to look. I apologize. But I know there's over 270 shows. So as we approach 300, there's almost one show for every day. We're a little short on that, but I promise you we're going to get there. So therefore, you can essentially listen to a new show every day. And by the time you get there, we'll be there. How about that? So welcome to the Daily Complaint. Today we're going to talk about NationStar Mortgage. Like I said, the biggest thing that we try to convey to you all is that you have to know your rights in order to assert them. I know that sounds very like kitschy and cliche and like, you know, we're spewing out some ridiculousness, but reality is that we truly do live by know your rights and assert your rights, okay? Because you have to know them. We study nonstop here in our office to know your rights. We constantly are looking at new things. We're looking at new ways to help clients. We're looking at new ways to help consumers and bring to you the education that we so are passionate about. So that's what our backbone is here. That's what we want to convey. The point of bringing to you the Daily Complaint is like tenfold, okay? First of all, I want to make this worth your while, okay? I realize sometimes it's not fun to listen to me go on and on. Reality is, though, I do think we have great information for you, and I want to convey it. In conveying it or explaining what rights you have, we also want to bring you some hope. We want to bring you some optimism. We want to bring you some options. We know today when you turn on the news, everything is just kind of bleak. You know, it doesn't feel great to be an American these days. You know, there's lots of issues. There's lots of negativity out there. So we don't want to be that. We want to be a positive light in your life. We want to provide you with knowledge that will take you through the rest of your life so you can successfully know your rights, whether it's today, whether it's 5 minutes down the road, whether it's 5 hours down the road, or 5 years down the road. We want you to know your rights. I can hear some thunder and lightning, so like I said, we're going to try and get through this show without incident, but bear with us. Nonetheless, it's Scottsdale, Arizona, folks. We get the monsoon season, and then that's pretty much it. We don't get weather for the rest of the year. So it's a pretty big deal when we get a storm out here. I mean, you know, not to mention the dogs. They go crazy, but the people go crazy as well. So like I said, it'll be an interesting show if we can get through without some hullabaloo. Okay? So as I was saying to you, the Daily Complaint, we air every weekday. We air live. You don't have to listen live to take advantage of the show. You can Google us, or you can go to thedailycomplaint.com, www.thedailycomplaint.com, and you can listen anytime you'd like. You can listen on your personal computer, on your cell phone, on your iPad. I don't know anything about the Apple Watch, but I'm sure you can listen there too. So reality is that there's so many different ways that you can listen to the show. We just want to make sure that not only do we make it convenient for you, but that we provide something for you that you didn't have before, okay? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a look at, like I said, NationStar Mortgage. We're going to take an in-depth look at the Making Home Affordable Modification Program process. That's how you get a loan modification through the government. We're going to look at their trial period plan, which is what is standard with any government loan modification. You have to go through a 3-month trial period plan. Some of the in-house or proprietary loan modifications that some of these mortgage servicers will extend to you are shorter in duration, but that means they're generally not the government HAMP programs. Okay? I would say 99.9%, if not 100%. I think 100% at least have a 3-month trial period. I've never actually seen one without one as of, you know, the last probably 4 or 5 years. Okay? So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the Treasury Department, United States Department of Treasury. We're going to talk about Mark McArdle and what they say about the default rates and servicers. We're going to look at that a little bit. And then we're going to just talk about the process at hand. Our complaint is extremely short, but I think a lot of people suffer the same thing. So even though it's short, I think its impact is huge with regard to people that have suffered this. A lot of people that have defaulted on a loan modification that was a HAMP modification, a lot of them from like 2010 to now, a lot of them don't understand that there's a HAMP Tier 2 program, which means if you default the first time, you have the opportunity to take advantage of that. So that's what we're going to do today. Before we start, we're going to go to the Making Home Affordable Modification Program page, and there's a little video. It's actually six minutes long. We'll try and hang in there for as long as we can, and we'll bring to you I'll stop it at any point in time and we can discuss anything. So here you go. Your excitement for the day, folks.
Our mortgage was $1,200 a month. They lowered our mortgage down to $1,000 a month to help us out to get back on their feet.
Hi there, I'm Paul Berry. A trial modification is the first step to lowering your monthly mortgage payment through the Making Home Affordable program. Every modified mortgage requires at least a 3-month trial period. Now, let's talk about how you get a trial modification and what you must do if you are granted one. First, to qualify for a trial period, you have to reach out to your lender or a HUD-approved housing counselor.
Okay, so let's stop there really quick. Okay, your lender, it's not the greatest word. It should be reach out to your mortgage servicer. Because technically, your lender might be a trustee, whereas your mortgage servicer who services your mortgage. So if your mortgage is being serviced by Ocwen, NationStar, ASC, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, whomever is sending you the statements, that's who you need to reach out to.
Lender has to determine whether you are eligible for the program. Now, your lender or servicer may grant your trial modification based on what you tell them about your situation or with only some of the documents required, but this is not enough to get a permanent modification.
Okay, so let me stop there as well. I don't know when this video was posted. I would presume it was posted a while ago. These days, you actually can't get a trial modification unless all of your documentation is in. So it makes it a lot harder for you to get denied for a permanent modification as long as you submit all of the documentation. So again, some of this information is a bit dated, but like I said, we're going to go through here. I'll stop when I need to.
You may not know this, but too often the trial modification fails because homeowners simply forgot to complete the documentation. So this is very important.
Okay, so let me stop there as well. So once you submit your request for mortgage assistance, by the way, you can do that through the makinghomeaffordable.gov website. You can't submit it through their website, but you can download all the forms. You don't have to wait for your mortgage servicer to actually give you the forms. You can go to makinghomeaffordable.gov. They give you every form you need. They tell you how to fill it out. They tell you what supporting documentation. If you gather all of that and submit your documentation all at once, that means that you're only going to have a few tidbits of documentation that you probably have to submit in order to get the ball rolling. Once you submit a complete application, they only have 30 days, I think. Maybe it's 37. I think it's about 30 days, roughly, to actually review your file. I think it's 30 days, something like that. So that's how short the process can be if you're good on the front end and submit all of the documentation. Now, with that said, there's a few tricks to submitting the request for mortgage assistance.
To receive a permanent modification, you must submit a full set of required documents. Start with the request for modification and affidavit form. You can find this form at makinghomeaffordable.gov or ask your lender or housing counselor for it. They'll also need to see your tax return. One way to submit that is by completing the 4506T Easy Form. This simply authorizes the IRS to release your recent tax return to your lender.
Okay, let me stop there. That's wrong. Okay, I mean, you do have to submit the 4506T, whether you submit the Easy Form or the full form. A lot of times, they're still going to want to see your tax return. So reality is you're still going to have to submit your tax return. If you file an extension and it's before October 15th, then you have to submit the extension, okay? So.
And they'll need copies of your recent pay stubs. You can find a checklist of all that is required at makinghomeaffordable.gov.
That's true.
Be sure you're accurate when calculating your income and expenses. The more accurate you are, the more likely you will receive a mortgage payment that you can afford.
Okay, let me stop there really quick and let's just talk about that for 1 second. When you're putting your income and expenses, I think a lot of people want to show that they can't afford their mortgage, so they bump up their expenses extraordinarily. So it looks like your expenses are more than your income. That's not good. Okay? When you're filling out the form, folks, you have to take into consideration a couple things. One, you're filling out your gross income. So, for example, if you work for ABC Company and they pay you $50,000 a year and you break that out into 12 months and that's what you put for your monthly income, that's great. It's accurate on a gross level, but then you got to understand what your net is. What do you take home? Okay, so if that's the case And let's say you're paying $10,000 in taxes every year, so you're only actually taking them $40,000. Then you need to take that $40,000 and split it up into 12 months and subtract your expenses and make sure you're still positive on that side of the fence, because you don't want to look like you can't afford it at all. Remember, this guy said that he lowered his payments from $1,200 to $1,000. The magic number they're trying to get to is 31% of your gross monthly pay. So if you bring home, for example, $4,000 a month, which would be roughly $50,000 in your gross, then they're trying to get to about a $1,200 payment. That's what they're trying to get to. So you've got to figure all of that in when you're calculating your income and expenses. So you're not doing yourself any service if you're making yourself upside down.
Miscalculating your situation can result in a payment that's higher than you can afford. It can also delay the processing of your request or disqualify you from the program altogether. If you're not sure how to calculate your income, you can get free help from the Homeowners Hope Hotline. They can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like I said, this paperwork is crucial. And here's where a housing counselor can be a huge help. First, if you're confused about any of this, you can always call a housing counselor. They can answer your questions, and they can keep you organized. In many cases, they will mail, fax, or email the documents for you. Staying on top of the process is key. It requires patience. You may already know lenders and servicers are busy and sometimes hard to reach. But on your own or with a counselor, make staying in touch with them one of your top priorities. Reduce the chance of misplaced or late documents by keeping records of all the conversations you have with your lender or counselor.
Okay, so when you keep conversations that you've had with your mortgage servicer or lender, what we do in our office, we actually created a form, which is a client status update form. We make sure that we get the name of the representative. If they're not willing to give the last name, then we ask for an agent ID number to denote or to identify them, because let's face it, you know, there's going to be 8 million Johns, Larrys, Bobs, Shelleys, Jennifers, Tracys, Heathers, so to speak. So it's a good rule of thumb to not only get their name, but their agent ID number.
And the paperwork you submit. If you're asked for additional or more up-to-date documents, don't drag your feet on this request.
Now, the other thing I would tell you is also keep copies of everything you submit, because if they ask you to resubmit anything that becomes outdated, then all you have to do is just change the date on it, as long as nothing else has changed. It makes it that much easier. In our office, we actually do everything electronically, so all we have to do is go in electronically and change it.
Again, too many people become disqualified during the trial period because of late or incomplete documents. Help yourself avoid this problem by keeping good records.
Okay, so there's been a big issue, and we've experienced it here in our office, but not as much lately because we're really good at recording when we send what. So we're able to say to the mortgage servicer, hey, we sent that on such and such a date. Can you look at that date, see what came in? And they can do that. Okay, so it is important for you to keep all the records. If you feel that you're getting a runaround, that's when you want to visit, say, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, at consumerfinance.gov, and submit a complaint. Or we're going to talk about the Treasury Department and the MHA HAMP, the Making Home Affordable Modification Programs Escalations Team, here in a second.
So now, if you do receive a trial modification, you're on the road to a permanent modification and a mortgage payment that is more affordable for you. You'll make a lower monthly mortgage payment for at least 3 months. Making it past the trial period requires some work. This is new territory for you, so here are some things you should keep in mind. The most important rule is to make those trial payments in full. You must make at least 3 monthly payments in a row to stay qualified for the program. You should know, during the trial, the terms and conditions of your original loan remain unchanged, and only if you are eligible for the program and after you make all of your trial payments on time and send in any required documentation can your loan be permanently modified.
Okay, so a couple other things to remember. A lot of people are confused with the recording of your trial payments. In many cases, they take your trial payments and they put them in a suspense account till you've made all three, or a complete mortgage payment, whichever comes first. And once you have a complete mortgage payment, they're required to apply that as a full payment to the last payment that was due. Okay? The other thing to remember, too, is that I think every single Making Home Affordable Modification Program, MHA, HAMP, government trial period plan or program or whatever you want to call it, it's called a trial period plan, tells you that your payment is due on the first, but they give you until the end of the month to pay. Now, you don't want to wait till the last minute because you certainly don't want to risk not getting your payment in by the end of the month. But a lot of our clients will pay like the middle of the month or, you know, the 15th, the 20th, whatever the case may be, leaving you with plenty of time so that they can post your payment.
Also, the trial period requires at least 3 months of payments, but it is possible that at the end of 3 months, you still won't have your permanent modification. Be patient, and above all, keep making the reduced trial payment to which you committed in full. Don't stop. If you do, you are risking all the progress you've made.
Many people feel like, now that my payment is lowered, I'm fine, I'm home free. But in fact, that's not the case. That's not accurate. They are not home free until they have made three consecutive, on-time, new low payments and filled out their documents.
Now, and this can be confusing, you may be receiving foreclosure notices in the mail as we speak. If you receive a trial modification, while the foreclosure process may continue, you cannot be evicted from your home during the trial period.
Okay, so first of all, they can't even sell your home. So maybe that's the wrong terminology. They really shouldn't move forward with your trial period, nor should they have a sale date when you're going through your trial period. So those are some things that you need to keep an eye out for. Once you agree to and start making your payments, there should be no sale date scheduled. Okay? Your foreclosure will most likely be on hold as long as you satisfy the program. But those are things that you need to make sure that you address with your representative, your single point of contact.
While your new trial payment amount may not be reflected in your monthly statement, you should still continue to make that new lower payment you agreed to make for the trial period. Bottom line, make that payment no matter what.
There is a reason not only to reach out, but a reason to go through some of the more difficult steps that people have to do to save their homes, because then you get a lower payment and you get to sustain your position as a homeowner. You get to save your home.
The trial period is your chance to prove to your lender that you are a good investment, that you can make the trial payment consistently. You deserve a shot at that chance. So if you're...
Okay, so enough with the video. I think it's done us justice for what we've needed, okay? So, a couple things. Once you make that final payment, so say your trial period started, your trial period plan starts in August this month. You still have the rest of the month to make your payment. August, September, October, those would be your three trial months. Once you make that October payment, say you pay it on the 1st of October, okay? Once it's received, if you make it on the phone or electronically, it's going to be received immediately. If you mail it in, you're going to have to wait for it to be received. Hopefully, you've got some way of tracking it to know that it's there. And certainly, you're going to see when it's cashed. Okay? So, when you make that payment, folks, at that point, it's supposed to trigger, after that third payment, it's supposed to trigger your permanent modification documentation. Some people say it's after two. My understanding, it's after the third payment is made. It's supposed to trigger the creation of your permanent modification paperwork. Then they're supposed to expedite that paperwork out to you so that you can sign and agree to it, which then it becomes your new loan. Okay? So let's talk about, we're going to go to the U.S. Department of the Treasury. We're not actually going to visit the CFPB's website today. I know, big surprise for those of you who listen to us all the time. We pretty much visit consumerfinance.gov or the CFPB's website every day. So today we're not going to do that, okay? We're going to actually focus on a couple different resources, okay? We're going to really look at the U.S. Department of the Treasury and what happens when you complain to them, generally it means that you go through the Making Home Affordable Modification Program escalations team, which they defer to. It's kind of their deferred team that helps to get your application, trial modification, whatever it is, back on track. Okay? So we're going to look at, we're on the U.S. Department of the Treasury's website, treasury.gov, and there were some notes that were posted on this site by the Homeownership Preservation Office. He's the chief of the Homeownership Preservation. So he basically controls, his name's Mark McArdle. So he talks about the HAMP, the Home Affordable Modification Program, has been a critical part of the Obama administration's efforts to provide relief to families at risk of foreclosure and help the housing market recover from a historic crisis. Since its launch in 2009, HAMP has directly helped more than 12 million homeowners. That's such a, well, no, I'm sorry, it says 1.2 million homeowners, I was going to say. 1.2 million is such a small amount of the homeowners that were affected, if you think about it in that scale, okay? So, and this was actually posted in 2013, to be fair, okay? So, and then we're going to look at the downside of it from a statement that was posted last week, okay? So, recently there's been attention on those homeowners who receive assistance through HAMP but default on their modified payments called redefaults. It must be remembered that mortgage modification programs include an inherent risk of homeowner default, given the difficult situation homeowners face when they seek assistance, like job loss. One of the policy changes of designing a program like HAMP, particularly given the severity of the recent housing crisis, is giving as many struggling homeowners as possible the chance to keep their home while recognizing that not all will succeed. We've tried to strike the proper balance in the design of HAMP, and we've taken additional action since the beginning of the program to improve our ability to achieve this goal. For example, HAMP established eligibility rules so that assistance would go to those homeowners most in need. HAMP also established protocols that the modifications provided would be sustainable for homeowners. Since 2010, the Department of Treasury has published detailed data highlighting the delinquency and default rates under the program. Studies by the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, OCC, by the way, another great place to complain if you want to complain, have found that homeowners in HAMP consistently exhibit lower delinquency and redefault rates than those in private industry modifications. Okay, so why are we talking about this in the first place? It's great. We're actually looking at a complaint from July 8th. I realize it's a little bit dated. We're about a month behind. Reported by Modification Lies. Obviously, they didn't want to use their name. Out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The complaint is titled, NationStar Mortgage Ripoff Artist Went Through a HAMP Program Three Times, Paid on Time Every Time, and Told I Was Denied a Modification. The complaint, like I said, is short, and then we're going to go back real quick and talk about what's going on now. I acquired this home. I did the HAMP program three times, paid on time every time, and was denied. I was denied the program. That's what he's saying. Now I'm on the fourth, and prior to this, I was placed in foreclosure and didn't even know. Something needs to be done about this company. Please, someone, if there is an attorney out there that's willing to fight these people, contact me. Okay, so we're not an attorney. We don't act like an attorney. We're not giving you legal advice. We're just here to talk about your consumer rights. Okay, so now that we've gone through all that, let's look at an article that was posted July 30th. Okay, it's called Treasury Servicers. We're doing what we can on loan mods. The Treasury Department, this is July 30th, 2015. This is 11 days ago. The Treasury Department rebutted a watchdog's claim, which was SIGTARP, that it hasn't done much to lower high home affordable modification program denial rates. Here's your problem, okay? The Special Inspector General for the Troubled Asset Relief Program, that's SIGTARP, recently renewed its criticism of the high denial rate in HAMP. Paperwork backlogs are one root cause of the problem, according to the watchdog, along with insufficient Treasury oversight and servicer calculation errors. The Treasury counters that things are better than they once were. Okay. We've seen significant improvement in servicers' compliance with program guidelines, including proper evaluation and denial decisions, said Mark McArdle, chief of the Treasury's Homeowners and Preservation Office in a July 29th letter. So now you're seeing kind of the other side of the fence. Remember, he posted that in 2013. We're now seeing in 2015, this is what's going back on. So now we've got SIGTARP saying bad things about the Treasury Department and the HAMP program. Okay. McArdle noted that there has been improvement in HAMP denial rates since 2012. That year, Treasury introduced HAMP Tier 2, which allowed a more flexible debt-to-income ratio. McArdle also noted the documentation has been simplified over time. I don't know if that's true. And that Treasury recently introduced a streamlined HAMP program. HAMP is part of the government's Making Home Affordable initiative. Data from SIGTARP and Treasury show denials on average fell sharply to 69%. In 2013, after peaking in 2012 at 82%. Wow. But still, 69%. Three quarters, pretty much, of the people that apply are being denied. That's a problem. The average as of April was 63%. So we're down a little bit better. Other statistics show cumulative HAMP denials have climbed significantly over time, increasing by 1 million since 2012. The top reasons applications get denied are incomplete applications and insufficient income, according to SIGTARP. According to SIGTARP, the top servicers it singles out for criticism and had higher than average denial rates of 70 to 80%, notably Citi Mortgage, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and non-bank Ocwen. We talk about Ocwen a lot here. Chase has achieved the Treasury's highest overall MHA compliance scorecard rating for six of the last seven quarters. We believe today's reported findings are based on an inaccurate analysis of Treasury data. And then it goes on to talk a little bit more about Citi. The HAMP application pipeline is generally paper intensive and can be challenging for consumers and servicers alike, but has improved over time. According to Carl Falk, chief executive of consumer-facing mortgage default servicing technology provider ShortSave. Wow, that's a whole mouthful. When asked why HAMP denial rates are so high, what the cause of this might be, and who might be responsible, he said, if you want my opinion, it's the process, but it's hard to point any fingers in that. Streamline HAMP is one Treasury initiative that appears helpful, according to Falk. I'd be curious to see those have higher approvals, he said. But top servicers said they felt their success in providing foreclosure alternatives should not be measured by the HAMP approvals alone. Although about two-thirds of reviewed applications cannot qualify for a modification under the explicit guidelines of the government programs, servicers are able to help many consumers avoid foreclosure through other avenues, according to Bank of America. In the end, 83% of more than 1 million customers whose HAMP applications were reviewed by Bank of America, 5 out of 6 avoided foreclosure. Apparently, seems like a big jump. A significant number of borrowers who did not qualify for HAMP modification did receive a proprietary modification from Ocwen. That's an Ocwen spokesperson talking about that. Ocwen's denial rate is roughly 10 percentage points lower than the three aforementioned banks. According to SIGTARP, Ocwen has a relatively high number of distressed loans in its portfolio. Ocwen Financial at one point failed a test to determine whether it had notified borrowers of missing or incomplete documents. So there's a lot of benchmarks, I should say, in place, folks, that these servicers have to achieve. I think they're looking at more and more process benchmarks. For example, once you submit an application, they're supposed to send you a documentation that states you submitted your application, along with a document that states what documents are missing from your application. Okay, so we do this all the time. In fact, we're in the process of doing this for a couple clients with NationStar. Even though we don't focus on loan modifications, we help oversee the process for our clients. We really focus on the regulatory complaints to get the folks in a position to be approved is really kind of what what we're all about here, but we've seen a lot of this documentation get better over the years, and we've also seen where servicers like NationStar, especially this year, have dropped the ball entirely, didn't recognize an application and started foreclosure. So let's review real quick where you can get help, okay? So if you've got an issue with like this disgruntled NationStar mortgage holder that goes by modification lies, if you're like modification lies and you feel like you're either continuously trying to apply and be approved for a loan modification and jumping through all their hoops and not getting there, that's when it should trigger in going into, say, SIGTARP, Special Inspector General for the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or better yet, why not go to the Treasury Department and the Making Home Affordable Escalations team, okay? You can always submit a complaint to the CFPB at consumerfinance.gov, and you should absolutely have the documentation from your mortgage servicer or lender, but most of all mortgage servicer, that should state what documents are missing so you know you have a hard copy of it, okay? I can tell you one of the worst mortgage servicers I've ever seen and dealt with is America's Servicing Company, okay? So again, it's important for you to understand the process, understand that if you're in line for a HAMP Tier 1, HAMP Tier 2, any other government-type modification, FHA, USDA, VA, Fannie, Freddie, in line for any of those, you're going to have to make those trial payments in order to get your permanent modification. There are some proprietary modification programs that require less or more, okay? So in there's Ocwen does a shared appreciation modification program. In some cases, they only require two trial payments. Whereas we did, we helped a client with Celine Finance who couldn't get a solution and they were trying to foreclose on his house, get a solution where they required six trial payments, okay? But those were proprietary or in-house solutions. So again, folks, it's important for you to understand if you're going through MHA HAMP, what are the requirements? Ask the questions, okay? When is my payment considered late? When do I get disqualified from the program? Those are important questions to ask, and I promise you, if you understand what we're trying to explain here today, you'll be 10 times better, or better off, I should say, than trying to just take a stab in the dark. So, folks, thank you so much for listening. I hope we've enlightened you today with regard to Making Home Affordable and HAMP. Visit us at thedailycomplaint.com. When you get there, you can contact us through that site. You can contact us through Twitter and Facebook. There are links up there. My personal signature, again, my name is Dana Schaffman. My personal signature is at the bottom of every single show. There's no reason for you to suffer in silence. Most importantly, you have to know your rights in order to assert them. So, folks, thank you so much for listening. Visit us at thedailycomplaint.com to get educated. Join us tomorrow for another awesome edition. It's going to be at 10 a.m. West Coast, 1 a.m. East Coast, or 1 p.m., excuse me, East Coast, if you want to listen live, but you can always listen later by simply visiting thedailycomplaint.com. So, folks, know your rights, assert your rights, keep your mind on your money and your money on your mind, and please have a wonderful, wonderful day. This is The Daily Complaint. Thank you so much for listening.